Thanks for joining us today to hear our latest Hope Central podcast. We trust this message will help you know more about Jesus and inspire you to be more like him.
Thank you so much for having me up here this morning, and thank you for honouring me with your time in the next 20, 30 minutes, 10 minutes if I run out of things to say. I feel like I was saying to Amanda before the service, I think one of the things that I get most nervous about is that I'll run out of things to say, but then if you know me, that's... Anyway, so the first thing I really want to encourage you that I was just thinking about even during worship, so often we say to people, very well-meaning, leave all your anxieties at the door, leave all your worries, leave the stress of the week, like leave it all at the door and come in fresh. And in the spirit of what I'm sharing today, I want to encourage you, bring everything in. All right, bring it all in. Oh, I just got a shiver and I got a bit emotional. Bring it all in. Have it here with you because that's who you are and that's what you're carrying. And that's, bring it all in, right? Let it all be here. Everything that you're feeling, everything you're going through, everything you're struggling with, I want you to just sit in it right now and be cool with that, okay? Anyway, you'll get where I'm going. So my message today, do I have to press this? Is beauty in the ugly. And I want to start by telling a few stories because I like a good story. So first of all, I want to tell you a bit about my story. Every now and then I share bits and pieces. But part of my story is as a young person that I think about my parents, and I've talked to my mum too because I'm sharing some of her story and she's cool with it. But I had two very... different, like almost polar opposite parents, in that one was all about the emotions and all about the feelings, and the other one didn't really know what to do with them and so held them in. And I think growing up, I kind of, you know, watched this obviously and kind of didn't know what to do and didn't learn how to deal with emotions. So I went, oh, it's actually safest to just cover them up. And so I actually... I don't know if I was born, I'm sure part of it was that I was born with this personality, but I've always described myself as an eternal optimist. So I literally could find a positive in any situation. I don't want to give examples because I don't, you know, I think I shared something with Janice and I was like, I can't even believe that I think this way, but I could think of just the most horrific of circumstances and my brain could find a way creatively to find a positive. So in some ways that's a gift, right? And in some ways I've been able to find a lot of joy in life and I've always focused on the positives, just been able to move through, had some, you know, really messy stuff go on in my teenage years and when I turned 18 and our family unit broke down a lot. But I just somehow managed to, like, positive my way through it. Find the positives, find things to be excited about, find joy. And I think in part of this process, I think what a lot of us can do is start to compartmentalize feelings and emotions into the good ones and the bad ones. So the good ones, of course, were, as you would expect, like being happy, feeling joy, peace, forgiveness, all the good ones. The bad ones were like, you know, being angry, sad, anxious, all of these things, right? And... I kind of learnt to compartmentalise, and so I very much didn't know what to do with the bad ones, so I just kind of shoved them away and focused on the good ones. And I learnt to make things, I almost describe it like I learnt to make things shiny and make things pretty and see the positives. And one thing I realised was that, you know, even as I got older, I realised even things like crying to me was, you know, not so much in other people but in myself, if I cried, it was ugly. I felt like it made me even physically look ugly, but it was just an ugly thing and I didn't want to do it and I was uncomfortable with that mess and I didn't know how to face it, so I just learnt to bounce back and bounce back really fast. So I would feel an emotion, maybe feel it really deeply, but I just hated sitting in it, so I'd bounce back really quick. And it's interesting because in the last couple of years... I've got a beautiful woman in my life who was in my mum's group. And she is really good at feeling all the feelings. And so we would go through situations and she would have all these feelings and I sort of didn't know what to do with it, and I would often just blanket it with a positive. In fact, I was probably doing that in most of the relationships in my life. Sort of just, you know, someone might share something hard and I'd be one of those people going, oh, here's the positive. Now we'll feel better. And so this friend was really instrumental, even in the last few years, in me really facing the fact that I had, you might have heard the term toxic positivity, where someone is so positive that they diminish everything else going on, or they cover it up or they ignore it. And then last year happened to Matt and I feel like it happened to us. It was just such a full-on year. And I found myself in situations throughout, particularly the middle of the year, where I was starting to struggle to find positives. I was just like constantly just in this state of grief and of pain and stuff that we were going through with our kids. And I started to like feel like in my relationships that I was the negative one. Suddenly I was the one always crying, always talking about my problems, always like just experiencing the bad emotions. And it was interesting because I, on reflection, yeah, I realised that I became really, I suppose, sensitive in my friendships, that people won't want to hang out with me, or they won't want to spend time with me because now I'm the negative one and I'm messy. Now I'm kind of ugly, like, you know. And, you know, and that was a process, and I got through that, and I've actually learnt so much in that. And I think this message kind of comes from a bit of that realisation and that recognition. And so then my mum's story as well, in amidst this, she had a lot of mental health struggles, particularly I remember they got worse as I was in my teen years. And when I was 18, so she would have been, now I've got to think about it, 48, I think. So, yeah, nearing her 50s. So kids are all growing up, about to leave home. And things, she basically received some news that rocked her world, just broke apart our family. Everything was horrific, just complete chaos. And her mental health took an absolute dive. She was already medicating for depression, but she was starting to just like more and more rely on it, over-medicating, really struggling with all of that, getting very depressed, getting suicidal. It was just chaotic. And I look back now and, yes, that's part of my story, but that's not my focus right now. I look back now and I look at the people around us, and I even look at the church, and again, I don't want you to hear me criticising people, but I feel like even the Church of Christ didn't know what to do with that, because all of that mess was ugly, it was messy, it was so broken. And I just think, you know, I think about our family home and I think about what was going on, and I think, wow, who really stepped in? And I recently had a conversation and I said, you know, Mum, who reached out to you? And she's like, oh, I could count on my hand the number of people that came into that space. And it, you know, it grieved me that because she was such a mess and so broken, and it was messy and it wasn't nice. And it didn't mean that she was making, you know, some of it wasn't, lots of it wasn't her fault. Some of it she did have choices that led to things that were really messy and broken and ugly. You know, I just saw this, just look back and saw this picture of someone in mess and people not knowing what to do. And it brought me to this scripture in Romans 12, verse 2. It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So, you know, I thought about this whole situation. I thought about the pattern of the world. And the pattern of the world is that ugly is something to be avoided, right? It's something to cover up, to hide. I mean, think of all the things we do. And, you know, girls wear makeup, like to hide perceived ugly things. I know this sounds really extreme, and I don't want you to hear, like, I'm wearing makeup, it's all good. I'm not, you know, criticising that. But, you know, think about the things we do to cover up, like the clothes and the way that we wear them, the way we structure our lives, the way that we operate in our jobs, you know, the even when you answer the phone and you put on The Voice, like if you're taking a work call, like you could be screaming at your children, hello, Melanie speaking. You know, we're always, like, this pattern of the world is just constantly covering up, push away, hide, make pretty, make it look nice, find the positives. And my challenge today is that we really need to be challenged as the body of Christ, that we don't fall into this pattern. You know, even things that we can perceive as ugly is like when things look bad or they smell bad or they taste bad or they're uninteresting or that person's unintelligent or they're uninformed, like how we just sometimes just want to cover that up and don't know what to do with it. You know, I thought about even when we're... Sorry, I just want to pause for a moment. You know, even that when we're coming in here and... Even when we walk in and we want to leave things at the door, you know, even that situation of me wanting to feeling uncomfortable in that space because I'm messy and, you know, I just really feel like the heart of God for His church is that we are so countercultural to that. That more and more we don't feel this need to cover up who we are or what's going on in our lives. Part of my story that I didn't mention that reminds me now is that I was diagnosed with ADHD last year at the end of the year. And some of you go, what? Because you're still in that. ADHD is like a hyperactive 8-year-old boy, right? which in my children it is. But I had this diagnosis, and so I've been learning a lot about myself and about how my brain works and the things that I struggle with. And there's a term that comes out a lot, you know, particularly with neurodiversity, but I know that you would hear it all the time, and that's masking. And I more and more thought about this idea of masking and just how sad it really is that, you know, I think over my life, like the times when I've tried to sit still when I really just want to not sit still. Or the times in my life where I have just talked someone's head off about a topic. If it's in the last 12 months, I probably have talked to you about autism and ADHD, and I probably, that's all I've talked about, and so I'm sorry. But, you know, just even this like, oh, I need to apologise because what I'm doing doesn't fit in and it's, you know, and so we kind of cover and we mask. And, you know, and I think sometimes, you know, even in church we think about how we want to present ourselves and how we want to look good and we don't know what to do with the mess. And so, yeah, I suppose part of this journey of discovering this ADHD about myself has been this whole idea of unmasking and saying, okay, what? How can I actually just be me and be comfortable with that? And realising more and more how much that's what people really want. People want authenticity and they want us to be real. Because the fact is, like, we all have things that we want to hide and cover. Like, all of us. Like, there is no one sitting in this room. If you tell me that you've got it all together and you are completely, like, happy with everything, I probably don't believe you. I'd like to. But we don't. We don't all have it together. We've all got stuff going on. And one thing I think that I've realised, I feel like I'm just meandering thoughts, but anyway. One thing I think I've realised is that when we are unwilling to, first of all, let our own mess out there, and the other thing, that entering into other people's mess, is that we end up being alone, or we feel like we're alone. And I feel like a lot of the time we can all sit here in church and feel like we're alone or we don't know how to connect with people. I had a beautiful chat a few weeks ago with a friend who, some of you know who I'm talking about, but a friend who tragically lost his wife recently. And I was listening to a podcast where they talked about this whole idea that when someone's in that place that we don't know what to say, right? You don't know what to say. You want to be like, that's devastating, that's awful. But also, oh, but then the temptation, what's the, there's no positives. How do you, you're not going to turn, but at the same time, God is good and we don't know what to say. And so we just kind of say nothing often. And I was like, you know what? I just want to lean into how uncomfortable this is and talk to this person. And we had such a great conversation. And I literally was like, I don't know what to say, but I'm here. And so, you know, I suppose coming back to this scripture, that God actually wants our minds to be transformed. He wants us to be able to see the ugly in the world and be able to respond differently. So I feel like the crux of what I want to share is around this scripture, Psalm 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my concerns. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. So my question to you today is, what is revealed in you when you are confronted with the ugly or the messy or the broken? What's revealed in your heart? If you come across someone who is in the pit of addiction and they haven't showered, their mental health is terrible, that, you know, they're really struggling, like what comes out of your heart when you're confronted by that? And I'm not asking you to tell me, because that's a personal thing, because I know that I'm human and I know what comes out of my heart is not always what Jesus wants. How do you react to that? You know, how do you treat that person? How do you know what to do? Some people are brilliant in those situations, but I think a lot of us, it might not even be that extreme, right? But I think a lot of us in our relationships and in situations, when something's a bit uncomfortable or messy or hard or someone is like that, we tend to kind of want to back away and not know what to do with that. And sometimes in our, often in our humanness, we don't know how to love that person. We don't know what to do. So it's easy just to go to what's comfortable and nice. And I suppose the other question is, how do we then respond to ourselves when we see ugliness and mess in ourselves? Like, how do we respond to that? How do we react to that? Because I think sometimes if we can't even face our own, you know, the ugliness in us, and if we don't learn how to see through the eyes of Jesus with that, how can the, you know, often that's then reflected in what we see in other people. Psalm 4:23, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. I really want to challenge you this morning. I want to challenge you to be really brave about letting God examine your heart, even right now, and to really examine what's going on in your heart. Because we ourselves in our humanness can't, like, I don't think it's, we can't really find beauty in the ugly. We can try and figure it out. But I feel like it's the Holy Spirit that teaches us how to find beauty in the mess and in the ugly. And so this whole idea of beauty in, is that how I worded it? Beauty in the ugly. Is that I feel like our call as the church, as Christ's church, is to bring beauty into the ugliness of the world. And, you know, so when I think about ugliness, it's more than just individual people. I think about situations. I think about brokenness. I think about mess. The things that make you furious, that are the injustice. Like, there's, you know, there's big picture stuff and there's small picture stuff. But our role as the body of Christ is to bring beauty into that situation. And beauty is Jesus. Beauty is Jesus. Jesus is the ultimate picture of beauty. You know, ugliness is like the brokenness, and our response should be to that: compassion, love, kindness, grace. But Jesus comes into that brokenness and he makes it whole. And that's what beauty is. We see beauty as wholeness and cleanness and righteousness. You know, Jesus didn't avoid mess. When we look in the scriptures, he confronted it. And he confronted it with love. And he confronted it with grace. And he confronted it with mercy and with forgiveness, with wisdom, with power, and with authority. And he took it on himself, that ultimate picture. He took all the ugliness of the world, all the sin of the world on himself, and he defeated it. Did I already read this? No. Romans 12:21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I just really challenge you that, you know, when you are faced with things, with evil or with difficult things or with challenges, that it's so easy to get to drown in that and be overwhelmed by that. But the Holy Spirit gives us power to overcome that with love. I want to focus on this idea of love because it can be so difficult to love. It can be so difficult to push in when things are hard and ugly. But I believe that's where the Holy Spirit wants to do his work and where the Holy Spirit wants to overcome us with his love. And just more and more as I encounter people and as I push into the mess of people's lives, like, I just feel those moments when the Holy Spirit comes on me that there's just this fruit of, like, such love for people. And, let me tell a story, just one last little story. I was driving home from the gym on Friday afternoon, just gone, and I drove past, so I was going from Tanunda to Nuriupa. It's like a 10-minute drive. I was halfway home and there was a lady walking on the other side of the road, walking towards Tanunda. And there's pretty much like nothing in between if you know it. It's like vineyards. So it's not like, oh, she's just going to that cafe. Like, she's clearly walking to Tanunda or somewhere. And I drove past and then, you know, after a bit I was like, oh, I should have stopped and turned around and I should go and offer to drive her the rest of the way. It's only 5 minutes. And I was like, ah, no, no, no. And then I just sort of felt that stirring. Oh, you know, I should stop, go and pick her up. No, no, no. And I literally got all the way to Nuri. So it was probably 5 minutes. And finally went, oh, my gosh, just turn around. So because this is just going to annoy you. I had nothing. I had no rush. Didn't have to be home. I just turned around, went back, picked her up. She jumped, you know, she was a beautiful Chinese lady who didn't speak much English. But she said when she got in the car, I just messaged my friend. You're my angel. And, you know, and I just drove her and I dropped her off at her home and it was, you know, it was pretty non-eventful. Like, she just was really grateful. And I got in the car and I was really moved. And I thought, oh, first of all, like, really? Like, was that such a big deal for such a small thing? Like, this story is not about me. It's not about how great I am that I did that, right? The thing that really stood out to me afterwards is how grateful she was for such a simple act of love. And I thought, how sad is it that the world is so devoid now of love and of that something so small like that is like overwhelming, like, whoa, you're an angel, you're so kind. I'm like, really? Like, it's not, it shouldn't be that big a deal. But it struck me that the world has forgotten what love looks like. They don't know anymore what it looks like, because love in the world is selfish and self-seeking, and love tries to cover up the mess and just wants the good. And we see people divorced all the time because they were like, oh, love. And then they get in and it gets hard and they're like, oh, this is ugly. No, I'm going to go get rid of this now and go break out and go find more beautiful love. Love is, it's so imperfect. The world sees it is just so messed up. I don't know how else to put it. And it's like they've forgotten. They don't know what love looks like. And that is where we as the body of Christ have to step up. We have to step up at how to love. We have to get comfortable. We have to stop encountering messy people and that we get angry by that, we get offended by that or upset, or we just want to walk away and leave it. We don't know what to do with it. And this is what I'm saying. Like, we have to come with our hearts and let God cleanse us so that when someone comes and when they're messy and they're broken, that we don't turn it and make it about ourselves. Like, how many times do we do that? We miss opportunities for grace, for forgiveness, for love, because someone comes into our world and we get a bit offended because, oh my gosh, you just spoke rudely to me. And we totally miss the fact that that person could have just had the most horrific morning with their kids, screaming and crying, like, I know that morning. And they've come in and they've come and they've, you know, had some interaction with you and they've exploded and we just go, whoa, we want to write them off. And yet how much, if as the body of Christ, if we would let God search our hearts and let him heal our brokenness and like properly, like examine our hearts where we have become bitter or where we have become offended or hurt or angry or why we are put off by situations. If we would let God examine us and make us whole, we can learn to properly show his love to the world. And I mean, I just am so stirred. And even this morning as we were praying that, you know, I really believe that the church of Christ is like God's doing this crazy like dismantling. Like you see it, you know, across the world. Like you see church leaders being broken and having to step aside and all of this mess and awfulness. But I think the beauty that's coming out of that is that God's shaking it up to say, we don't want things to look pretty anymore. Like I think the world's actually tired of that. They know that that's what the world's giving them, but they also recognize that it's not enough. You know, I think they're starting to see that they actually are a bit tired of everyone trying to tell them to be like this and look like this. And they don't want us to be the same. And I think as the church, like, I mean, I love Hope Central. I'm not talking about you. And I think we actually do a really great job of embracing people where they're at. But I think God's church has made the mistake of buying into what the world says about trying to look good and trying to have it together. And not let the mess come out. Oh, when I'm on stage, so I've got it together and I don't have all those thoughts and I didn't have temptations to just go, oh, that lady's fine, I just want to get home and do my thing. Or, oh, you know, I'm in a conversation and someone's like really just draining the life out of me and I want to run away. Like, we are all in this together. We are all in this together. We've just got to let that down and let God cleanse our hearts and cleanse our minds and set us free from that. Because, you know, the more, like, I just come across so many Christians who are still so bound up and so caught up in their worlds that they just, it's like there's no ability for even the love of God to flow through them to others. They might be able to receive it for themselves, but that flow, you know, through to others. And again, in the prayer meeting, like, I just had that sense of, like, that the Holy Spirit wants to come like a rushing wind. And there's a beautiful song that talks about Spirit of the living God, come fall afresh on me. Come wake me from my sleep. Blow through the caverns of my soul. Pour in me to overflow. And, you know, right now, I just pray. I want you to close your eyes. The music team doesn't have to come just yet, but although you could if you want, actually, when you come up. Just want you to close your eyes and I just want to pray that the Holy Spirit would just begin to blow through. And I don't know what work he has to do in you. I don't know what it is. But I just feel like there's some stuff that some of you or lots of us have got in our souls, and he just wants to come through and blow it out. Hand over all your bitterness and your anger and your pride and your frustration. Just let him blow through. Because I don't know about you, but when the Holy Spirit captures you, you begin to see with different eyes. You begin to see people in such a different light. You know, like people can hurt you and it still hurts, but you're also able to have compassion and grace because the love of God flowing in us sees so much more, sees beyond. Holy Spirit, blow through the caverns of our soul. Pour in us, God, to overflow with your love, to overflow with your grace and your mercy. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Lord, I pray that we would get brave to step into situations that aren't comfortable. God, I pray that, you know, we would get unselfish even, to be willing to be uncomfortable, to no longer see like the good emotions and the bad emotions, but Lord, just to see that we are who we are and we experience all of these things, and that actually, you know, you just want to step into that. Jesus, you want to step into that mess. You did. You stepped right into that mess. You met with lepers and sinners, and, you know, you met with widows who probably had all this baggage going on, and it was, you know, the human side of us wants to be frustrated and say, just get it together and, you know, you've been in this forever. But, Lord, you just continually poured out your mercy and your compassion and your grace and your love upon people, Lord. And I pray, God, that you would ready us as the body of Christ to just continually be loving one another and to show the world what love actually is, that they would experience true love, love that gives, love that is kind, love that is patient, love that doesn't just react all the time but embraces, and love that's willing to risk being hurt. And Lord, change our hearts. We're going to sing this song, Hosanna, again. If you want to even stand up, someone's going to lead us. And, you know, I've always loved that bridge. You know, heal my heart and make it clean. Open up my eyes to the things unseen. Show me how to love like you have loved me. And break my heart for what breaks yours. Everything I am for your kingdom's cause. So we're going to sing this. And I'm just going to leave that with you. I don't know. I just feel like the Holy Spirit, he wants to do some work. I don't know what that is, but I know he wants to do some work. And I actually encourage you while we're singing this, that if you do, you know, if you do want the Holy Spirit to come, if you've got some stuff, if there's work you need to do, even while we're singing, come down the front and just, you know, take that time to let the Holy Spirit move us. Because we just, as the body of Christ, we need to get healthy. We need to get well, and we need to be ready for what he wants to do through us. Amen.